love about her, even when she was sick, she was willing to fight. God deliver me from four. Hey, that's another. God bless you, sir. Will you please stand? That's my police juror. Amen. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Amen. I'm honored to see you, sir. See, this is what I love about Zion. We can stop what we do anytime we want. Tell somebody, fight! If you don't fight, the devil will steal your children. If you don't fight, the devil will steal your marriage. If you don't fight, the devil will block your promotion. If you don't fight, the devil will mess up your health. Somebody shall fight. My God, I preached myself happy already. You know why we have to fight? Because the devil is after your stuff. When I declare early this year and say this year will be a year of recovery, how are you going to recover if you're not willing to fight? The devil is not going to turn loose what he stole, but the Bible said this is the day that God will restore everything that the Palmer one has stolen, everything that the locusts have stolen, everything that the canker worm has stolen. The devil is after your job. The devil is after your marriage. The devil is after your health. The devil is after your finance. It's time to duke it. Somebody shall fight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But guess what? We do wrestle. Amen, somebody. We're fighting principalities, spiritual wickedness, in high places. Don't tell me you're just going to be lukewarm. You better be ready to fight it out. Amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, that bad devil is trying to drag you down. So you better fight. You better stop feeling sorry for yourself. You better stop having a pity party. You got to be willing to fight. Touch somebody next. You see, I don't know how. I don't know when. But this one thing I do know. I'm coming out of this. Oh! I've made myself happy already. Slap somebody and say, I'm coming out of this. I may have to come out on a stretcher. I may have to come out on a bicycle. I may have to come out on a skating board. I may have to come out on a roller skater. But I know one thing, I'm coming out. I'm coming out of poverty. I'm coming out of sickness. I'm coming out of lack. I'm coming out of disease. I don't know who I'm talking to this month. Question. Ask me what is the question. How are you going to come out? How y'all doing back here? Amen. Wave your hand to everybody watching on live stream. Just wave your hand. We love y'all. Come out. He said the first thing you got to do, wake up. Slap somebody and say, wake up. Isaiah chapter 52 verse number 1. He said, when you get ready to fight with the devil, when the devil is messing with your health, when the devil is messing with your marriage, when the devil is messing with your job, when the devil is messing with your mind, when the devil begins to mess with your children, when the devil begins to mess with your grandchildren, he said the first thing you got to do, wake up! Am I still in the book? Can you all read it? He said, awake! Awake! That word awake means wake up. To awake means you take all the revelations that you have learned in Sunday school. You take all the understanding that you get from singing gospel. You take all the revelation that you get from the preacher. You turn it into action. Can I tell you a little secret? Too many people in the church are sound asleep. They can tell you what John 3:16 says. They can quote Jeremiah and quote Zephaniah, then quote Amos and Obadiah. But when you look at their life, hit somebody and say, wake up! To be awake, ladies and gentlemen, I receive. God bless you, man of God. To be awake, ladies and gentlemen, is to refuse anything that God has not ordained in your life. Whenever you begin to allow things that God did not ordain for you, guess what you're doing? You're sound asleep. Ladies and gentlemen, take note, until you are awake, the enemy will have a free ride. Are you listening to me this morning? Why is this important? The enemy always take advantage of anybody that stay in the sleepy state. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to know that you know that the word of God commands you to wake up. Look at the book of Matthew chapter 13 right quick. Matthew chapter 13 verse 24. I got to hurry up. Beginning from verse 24, the Bible says the kingdom of God is like a man who sow a seed in the field. Am I still in the book? Can you follow the story? Then verse 25 said, but while he was asleep, while he was asleep, that's when the devil, the enemy came. Every bad thing that is happening in your life, in my life, is a result of you and me being asleep. No devil can mess with you while you are awake. The Bible says, while you are yet asleep, the enemy came. Let me stop here and say to somebody, I don't know what the enemy.
We pray that our broadcast was a blessing to you. If you would like to have a copy of today's message on CD, please contact us at www.joydara.org or at our postal service at P.O. Box 6006, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Or you can call us at 1-888-JOY-DARA. That's 1-888-563-3232. Again, that's 1-888-563-3232. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. May God bless you and yours.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT. Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla. And in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Sunday Worship here at Christian Love Baptist Church, where our pastor is Reverend Larry R. Turner. We're located at 3515 Hudson Boulevard, Alexandria, Louisiana. We, the Christian Love family, would love for you to come worship with us. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m., followed by our worship service at 11. Come experience our midweek worship service on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Our doors are always open. It's always worth a visit here at Christian Love Baptist Church.
All of the thanksgiving be unto the Almighty and to the living God, to Jesus, who is our Lord and our Savior, to the power, the indwelling, and the presence of God's Holy Spirit, to my wife, to these ministers of music. Somebody say amen. Amen. To the deacons who carry the covenant of Christ, to Pastor Alford, to Pastor Brady in his absence, to Minister Harbor, and to Minister Simons. May God bless you. To those thousands and thousands who will be ministered to through our radio ministry. And to you, O citizens of the kingdom of God, I greet you all in the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. I want to talk to you today from the book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse 28. God wants you to know that as you walk in power, as you grow, as you mature in Christ, I would love to have everybody's divine and immediate attention because I need you to hear this. As you grow, as you mature in Christ, as you become more of a mature Christian, you are going to be faced with a crisis. Now, with a crisis, the meaning. Now, with a crisis, crisis is something that is, you'll find that is very crucial or a decisive time in your life. That's what a crisis is. It's a very crucial time in your life. It's a very decisive time. And you're going to be faced with it. We often call crisis storms, but you're going to have them. You're going to have them. Now, here's the word of hope. Jesus says, don't be disturbed or overtaken because, he says, be of good cheer. For he has overcome the storms. Now, I'm telling you this today. I believe that God laid it on our heart because sometimes Christians does not know why we have crisis in our lives. We don't know. And we're going to help today. In the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 28, watch what Paul says. Paul says, and we know. Now, Paul wants you to understand, the word of God wants you to understand, this we is not everybody. It excludes non-believers and it includes believers. He says, we know. How do we know? Because we are the ones who are filled with the Spirit of God. We are the one who know God's nature. We are the ones who are connected to Christ. So therefore, there is something through every crisis that we know. We know that all things work together for the good to them that what? Now you have to love him. You see, if you love God, you'll understand God more. If you love God, you will seek to please him. If you love God, you will seek to satisfy him. Those of us who love God, to them who are called according to his what? I want to talk to you today from crisis to opportunity. The grass will wither, the flower it will fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. From crisis to opportunity. From crisis, from a very crucial time, from a very crucial moment to opportunity. Now, with every Christian, with every one of us who are children of God, we have to know that we are always on the move. We are not in this life. We are not in this world to stay here. We are pilgrims passing through this barren land. We are on our way somewhere. So every Christian need not to get relaxed and at ease at Zion because you are on the move. God never allowed the children of Israel to build a permanent place in the desert because they were always going to be on the move. They were on their way to Canaan. Now, Paul was writing to the church here in Rome, and Paul begins to let these Christians know, these believers know, that everything that they were facing or was going to face as a result of them being a Christian is going to work together for the good. Every crisis, you see, in this time that Paul writes, Paul knew that it was very dangerous to be a Christian. In fact, if you go back to the book of Acts, the book before this, it was at Antioch that the believers was first called Christians. Now, they were called Christians because Christian was a name, a title that had been given to believers or followers of Christ as a derogatory term. And so he knew that when you took on Christianity, that you were going to be persecuted. I need to talk to some people that are under this grave misconception, under these erroneous beliefs, that when you become a Christian, that everything is going to be hunky-dory. So Paul writes and tells, or stands up here and tells these Christians, he says, as a result of you being a Christian, you will be faced with some turbulent times. Your marriage, your relationship, your personal life will be under attack. And Satan, watch this. I don't care who you are, what color you are, what status you are,
whether you are from the most affluent side of town or the ghetto, if you are a Christian, Satan has you under his radar. Here's why Paul was also telling them this, is because he did not want their persecutions and their crisis to become a hindrance. You see, the church having a tendency to allow their crisis, those crucial times in their lives, to become a hindrance. Here's what I'm getting at. Then it happened, and it's still happening today, that when we go through a little something or we're faced with something, we immediately run. We take on man's response to adversity, and that is to run. Or to quit, to flunk. I'd like for everybody to stand up for a minute. If you will, stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. If you will. If you're not too mad and you're not too mean. Now, sit down. I wanted to give you a visual. I wanted you to give you an experience. It's harder, it takes more effort to get up than it does to sit down. You see, there is going to have to be some effort if you are going to move forward. It's easy to flunk out. It's easy to quit. It's easy to just sit down. It's easy to just quit. It's easy to throw your hands up. It's easy to abort, to abandon. It's easy to jump ship. Or it takes more effort. It takes a real Christian to stay going up. It takes more effort. It takes more power. You're more vulnerable when you quit than you are when you stand up. Ezekiel was down by the Cherbar River, and Ezekiel was praying, and he was on his knees.
Yes, sir.
And God reached his hand and told Ezekiel to stand.
Yes.
You see, when you're down, sometimes it's not good to be down when you are in battle. You are ready for battle when you're standing up. Are you with me yet? And so Paul was trying to prepare these Christians and educate them on the fact of the real matters. The fact of the real matters is you will have some crisis. Now, here's the good thing about crisis. Crisis helps us to see opportunity. We go from crisis to opportunity. We are prone when we are in a crisis to always ask why. God, in a crisis, wants you to learn how to ask what. I'm preaching to Turner. You see, a lot of times the crisis can seem so big and the odds can seem so insurmountable until we just can't see how God is going to bring the good out of this ugliness. Are you going to talk back to me? I mean, it is so ugly. Sometimes our crises are so ugly, they're so pressing, they're so painful, until sometimes it's very difficult and cloudy for us to see how will God work this out. And in Genesis, that question is answered for you because God had to answer, are you with me? God had to answer Sarah. He answered the question for you. Sarah, God goes to Sarah, the angel go to God, to Sarah, and says, at this time next year, Sarah is going to have a baby. Really, Sarah was 89. She's going to be 90 years old when she have a baby. Sarah laughed. When Sarah laughed, the angel, God himself, said, is there anything in the midst of your crisis? If you got a Sunday shout, it ought to be right there. In the midst of your crisis, when the odds seem insurmountable, when things seem too hard, when it seems cloudy, when it seems bleak, when it seems so dark, when it seems so hard, until you say you don't see any way possible that this situation can be turned around, you need to ask yourself, first of all, is there anything too hard for God? If God can bring forth a baby out of a woman at 90 years old, surely he can work out your little problem. I wish I had three believers. If God could part a Red Sea in the middle of a desert, surely he can work out your little problem. Are you with me yet? If God could take your grandmother and grandfather who was making a dime a day and feed them every day of their lives and take one chicken and feed about 20 folk at some time, take beans and rice and feed a whole neighborhood, surely. Do I need any more witnesses? If Jesus could take two fish and five loaves of bread and feed and fill 5,000 folk, surely. I just thought I would read you a verbal resume of God. Surely. And so the scripture now looks more clearer to us because Paul says, we know. See, when you start to call the past experiences of God, then you start to say, well, now listen, if God brought me out of that, somebody gonna get with me. Have y'all gotten with me yet? You're going to get to the point to where I don't know how he's gonna do it. See, when you reach that point in Christianity, you're up there now. See, you're where the grown folk live. You see, when you get to the point to where I don't know how he gonna do it, I don't know when he's gonna do it, I just know that he gonna do it. When you get to that point, I'm talking about things still look crazy, things still look maddening, it's still dark, it's still bleak, it's still blurry. You don't know how you're going to make it. You don't know how you're going to see through it. All you know is you're unemployed, you're hungry, your children need, the insurance is due, the rent is due, the car note is due, the medical bills are coming in, you're lonely, you're tired, you're sick, you're broke, you're hungry, and you can still stand up and say, I don't know how he's going to do it. Your belief should not be based on what you can see. Now, let me help you. Lest I will overload your wagon. You see, Isaiah 55, God says, you have to understand that my ways, you look for God. Let's go down the corridors of your mind. You remember you were looking for God to work things out one way, and he worked it out another way. You remember you were looking for God to work it out through welfare, and God did it through fairly well. You were looking for your uncle to give you some of that money he had gotten in the lawsuit, and God got you hired on a job that you never thought you'd get on. And when you got on that job, you said, hold it. Can't nobody do this, but I wasn't qualified for it, doesn't have a degree, but yet you're a supervisor. Watch this. Watch this. And so here is, we jotted down a few things. And listen, I want everybody to get the pencil and paper. I want you to get your notepads. I want you to be able to put this on your phone, because here is some things.